Worldwide News Update. Russia has launched a massive aerial attack against Ukraine. VOA's Tommy McNeil has the details.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia fired 93 missiles and almost 200 drones in Friday's bombardment. He says it is one of the heaviest bombardments of the country's energy sector since Russia's full-scale invasion almost 3 years ago. He says Ukrainian defenses shot down 81 missiles, including 11 cruise missiles that were intercepted by F-16 warplanes provided by Western allies earlier this year. Zelensky renewed his plea for international unity against Russian President Vladimir Putin. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has vowed to end the war and has thrown into doubt whether vital U.S. military support for Kyiv will continue. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
The Kremlin praised U.S. President-elect Donald Trump on Friday for criticizing Ukrainian missile strikes deep into Russian territory, but said discussions about deploying European troops to keep a possible future peace in Ukraine were premature. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is pressing ahead with efforts to unify Middle East nations from support of a peaceful political transition in Syria to the Gaza ceasefire. The outgoing Biden administration is particularly concerned that a power vacuum in Syria could exacerbate already heightened tensions in the region and create conditions for the Islamic State group to regain territory and influence. After talks with officials in Turkey, Blinken said there is renewed hope for an agreement for a ceasefire on the Gaza Strip and the return of hostages from the October 7th attack.
We talked about the imperative of Hamas saying yes to the agreement that's possible to finally help bring this to an end. And we appreciate very much the role that Turkey can play in using its voice.
Meanwhile, an Israeli strike on a post office sheltering Gazan residents killed at least 30 Palestinians, medics said. And the Israeli military said on Friday it had been targeting a senior Islamic Jihad member. This is VOA News. France has a new prime minister. VOA's Jeff Custer reports.
French President Emmanuel Macron has named centrist ally François Bayrou as prime minister after an historic parliamentary vote ousted the previous government last week. Bayrou is a crucial partner in Macron's centrist alliance and has been a well-known figure in French politics for decades. Former Prime Minister Michel Barnier resigned last week following a no-confidence vote prompted by budget disputes in the National Assembly, leaving France without a functioning government. Macron, in an address to the nation, vowed to remain in office until his term ends in 2027. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
South Korea's opposition leader warned his ruling party colleagues on Friday that history will remember if they do not back the impeachment of President Yoon Suk-yeol with just over 24 hours until a vote to remove him from office. An attempt to remove him from office last Saturday failed when lawmakers from the ruling People Power Party boycotted the impeachment motion. But after a week of backdoor politicking and a mounting investigation into Yoon and his inner circle, analysts now say the main opposition Democratic Party may have better luck with its second attempt. Two Namibian opposition parties that are seeking to challenge the result of elections last month won a court order on Friday allowing them to inspect election materials they had requested to see. Namibia's ruling party, SWAPO, won both the presidential and parliamentary elections on November 27th, extending its 34-year rule in the Southern African state. Opposition parties allege the election was flawed and potentially invalid due to an extension of voting for several days, among other issues. According to witnesses, topless members of the Ukrainian feminist protest group Femen took chainsaws to a giant wooden sculpture outside the United Nations in Geneva on Friday, prompting police to intervene. The two women, wearing the Ukrainian flag as garters, shouted, quote, "Keep Russia out of the UN," unquote, and expletives as they sawed into a monument known as the Broken Chair, leaving over a dozen gashes. Since it was founded in Kyiv in 2008, the Femen movement has won fame and notoriety in Europe for its protests, usually topless against sex tourism, homophobia, and religious institutions. A Chinese businessman who had forged close links with Prince Andrew and was authorized to act on his behalf to seek investors in China has been banned from Britain on national security grounds. According to the ruling, the ban came after the contents of his phone were downloaded when he was stopped under counterterrorism laws at a UK border in 2021. It said this revealed Prince Andrew had authorized him to set up an international financial initiative to engage with potential partners and investors in China. Buckingham Palace no longer comments on matters relating to Andrew, who was removed from royal duties by the palace in 2022, and Reuters was unable to reach him or representative for comment. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com, 24 hours a day. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.
This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News tonight.
One of the major concerns is they are just prospects out of school. So when you ask them, are you looking forward to completing, many of them will say no, because they've seen their colleagues 2, 3, 4 years ahead of them finish and struggle to find jobs.
That's economist Patrick Opoku assuming on Ghana's financial challenges. Details coming up. Also, U.S. officials want to keep ISIS from taking advantage of the power vacuum in Syria. And Somalia has won a non-permanent seat on the U.N. Security Council. These stories and more on Africa News tonight. We start with our top story. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken held talks in Ankara today to put together a united front, keeping ISIS from taking advantage of the power vacuum left by the overthrow of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Blinken, who met with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan Thursday, met with Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan for more than an hour today. They issued a joint statement. Fidan said, "It is among our priorities that ISIS and the PKK do not dominate Syria," while Blinken said, "The fight against ISIS must continue." Visits by Blinken and other U.S. officials came amid military maneuvers from neighboring countries, including U.S. allies, Israel, and Turkey. Israeli troops advanced deeper into the U.N.-patrolled buffer zone separating the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights and Syrian territory following hundreds of Israeli airstrikes across Syria. Former President John Mahama is returning as Ghana's president after defeating Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia in the December 7th election. His victory comes amid widespread dissatisfaction with the government's management of the country's economic crisis. VOA's Pauline Diho has more.
Ghana has faced severe economic struggles in the past few years, including inflation peaking at 54% in 2022 and easing to 23% by the end of 2023. Voter frustration with the ruling New Patriotic Party is credited with giving former President John Mahama a victory over Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia. Economist Patrick Opoku assuming says young Ghanaians face a significant job shortage, leading to frustrations that contributed to the government's downfall.
One of the major concerns is they are just prospects out of school. So when you ask them, are you looking forward to completing, many of them will say no, because they've seen their colleagues 2, 3, 4 years ahead of them finish and struggle to find jobs. So I think for young people, That's always been a challenge. I mean, having an economy that is growing and creating enough jobs to, you know, for people to earn a basic living, it has been a major, major issue and a major problem.
A key factor in Mahama's win was the youth vote. Young Ghanaians expressed frustration with the unemployment, rising costs, and harsh policies. Kobe Moyes, an influencer and a University of Ghana graduate, notes that young people were angry and hungry, which drove them to vote against the ruling party.
We need the current or the president-elect to work on, one, providing stable jobs, and then to making sure that the economy is well attractive. The economy should be established in such a way that it will be so attractive to us, and then to also attract investors into the country. That we would also get more jobs. They should also establish factories, you know, business centers where we can go and then work.
Israel Otto Arthur, a student at the University of Ghana, says the government's silence on social issues and the previous administration's lack of responsiveness to protests and public outcry contributed to its defeat.
I think as a result of that, they felt we put you in a position to serve us, and we are a democracy as well. But if we voice out our opinions and our opinions aren't heard in that context, I think there should be a change. That was what, from my view, I'm perceiving to be a cause of such action.
Mahama's campaign capitalized on this dissatisfaction by promising a fresh start and focusing on economic recovery. His vision for a 24-hour economy and measures to create jobs resonated with both young and older voters.
He has a whole lot of plans, most especially our 24-hour economy. We are hoping for best, and we know that God being his helper, he implement most policies that will help Ghana and also everyone, every citizen in Ghana. So I'm hoping that Mahama has a lot of vision.
Some political analysts observe that when Mahama takes office, he faces rebuilding an economy weighed down by debt, inflation, and diminished investor confidence. His victory, however, reflects a strong mandate from Ghanaians to tackle these issues. Paul Diho, VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
Officials in sub-Saharan Africa countries have agreed it is important to reduce over-dependence on imported fish and seafood from North Africa and the European Union, and instead they should strive to cultivate fish farming, which will create jobs for unemployed youth. The officials meeting in Cameroon said their goal is to invest some of what they collectively spend on importing fish each year and put that funding into developing local fish farms. They hope to redirect to local fish farmers a large amount of the $7 billion spent annually on importing seafood. Moki Edwin Kindeka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Fish farmer Tanyi Hubert demonstrates how every day he catches and sells at least 10 kilograms of fresh fish from his pond in Corbison, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. He told government officials from 12 African countries who were in Cameroon on Monday that he makes at least $40 each day since he started selling fish 1 year ago from his riverside fish pond in which he farms fish. Hubert said he is one of several hundred youths the government of Cameroon trained and provided financial assistance of about $4,000 each to begin a fish farming business. Etta Collins Ayuk is the director of the Limbe National Institute of Fisheries, an aquaculture created by the government of Cameroon to train fish farmers. He says several hundred unemployed Cameroonians who have received training in fish farming are today supplying fish to local markets and raising enough money to take care of their families.
The catch we get from the wild is rapidly declining, and the only way to ensure fish and fish products availability for local consumption should be through the farming of fish, which is aquaculture. We train people to get jobs. We don't train people to go and search for employment.
It has said efficient local fish farming will reduce the large amounts of money Cameroon spends each year on importing fish from North Africa and Europe. The government of this Central African country says it has spent about $200 million in 2024 to import 60% of the 550,000 tons of fish and seafood it needs this year to feed its 30 million civilians. Officials and fish farmers from sub-Saharan African countries meeting in Yaoundé on Monday said Africa alone accounts for close to 13% of the world's total fish imports. The continent spends close to $7 billion to import fish and seafood from Europe and North African countries, including Morocco, Egypt, Algeria, and Tunisia, officials said. Oludayo Ganiyu, chief executive officer of Aquapet Ventures, a Nigerian company that promotes local fish farming, says it is unfortunate that despite its huge potential of abundant natural resources, including oceans, rivers, lakes, waterways, and coasts, Africa still spends huge sums of money to import fish.
We import thousands of tons of fish every year that cost us over $1.2 billion. Now, the government of my country is encouraging so many people to come into fish farming. The time will come in Nigeria where you not see any imported fish again. Many people are now encouraged to invest more in aquaculture so that this cash dollar used in importation of frozen fish into the country will be channeled into health, education, and other infrastructure.
Olodayo said participants at the Yaounde meeting this week agreed to try to guide their countries to soon invest about 60% of the money they normally use to import fish to instead pursue local fish farming development and production. The plan aims to create jobs for African youths who, due to widespread poverty and joblessness, are leaving their countries to seek work in Europe. The participants said Africa has over 30,000 kilometers of untapped coastline to gradually expand the fishing industry, which has the potential to drive economic growth, ensuring food security and creating jobs. Cameroon's livestock minister, who goes by only one name, Tiger, says the African Continental Free Trade Area, alongside global initiatives, has prepared a blueprint for Africa to use its vast fishing resources to fight hunger and propel development. Tiger says Cameroon and sub-Saharan countries will succeed to stop the importation of fish and seafood from North Africa and Europe, just as they succeeded to stop the importation of frozen chicken and pork from developed countries. He says the United Nations International Fund for Agricultural Development is presently assisting African countries to produce fish locally and reduce dependence on imports. Tiger spoke on Cameroon State TV. He said African nations are fighting to stop illegal fishing on their coastal waters, but did not say how. The United Nations reports that Africa this year accounted for 13.1 billion tons of fisheries and aquaculture production, which is 6% of the world's annual total. At the conference Monday, officials said they hope that by 2026, some 60% of money they use to import fish will be invested in local production. Moki Edwin Kinzeka, VOA News, Yaounde, Cameroon.
Somalia has won a non-permanent seat on the United Nations Security Council in what's being hailed as a significant step for the war-torn nation. It will be the first time the country, which descended into civil war more than 30 years ago, has held a position since the 1970s. The top table of the UN determines how the organization should respond to conflicts around the world. Analysts say Somalia's battle to bring an end to its turmoil and its fight against Islamist militants will help inform the UN's decisions. There are 10 rotating non-permanent members on the council, along with the 5 permanent members, the US, the UK, France, China, and Russia. To win a seat which can influence world affairs, a country needs to secure the support of at least 2/3 of the General Assembly delegations that are voting. Somalia was elected along with Denmark, Greece, Pakistan, and Panama to serve for 2 years starting next month. You're listening to The Voice of America. On African News Tonight, Kenyan President William Ruto has hinted at a more inclusive government, even as he cautioned against reckless negativity discrediting his administration. In celebration of this year's Yamuredi Day, the head of state said he will continue reaching out to all Kenyans in the spirit of national unity. Ruto said political competition and rivalry should never be allowed to block national interests. Ruto's sentiments, according to Wire reports, comes just days after he paid a courtesy call on former President Uhuru Kenyatta, a visit that triggered talks of possible inclusion of Uhuru's men in government. This followed the closing of ranks with his 2022 main challenger, Raila Odinga, which birthed the broad-based government where opposition leaders were co-opted into the cabinet and other positions. In apparent reference to his rapprochement with Raila, Ruto admitted the cooperation has been instrumental in addressing some of the country's challenges. How much U.S. foreign assistance is allocated and where it goes are two key questions as the Trump administration prepares to take office in January. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias looks at some sectors where cuts are expected and others that may be a priority.
Medical supplies for India, food aid for Gaza. The United States donates more foreign aid than any other country in the world. Just in fiscal year 2022, it obligated some $70 billion. That's 1% of the total federal budget for humanitarian assistance, economic development, peace and security, and other sectors abroad. It's not clear what President-elect Donald Trump's approach to foreign aid will be when he begins a second term in January. But during his first term, Trump made his views known at the 2018 United Nations General Assembly.
We will examine what is working, what is not working, and whether the countries who receive our dollars and our protection also have our interests at heart. Moving forward, we are only going to give foreign aid to those who respect us and, frankly, are our friends.
As president, Trump did cut some foreign assistance, but Congress often pushed back on his suggestions to do so. Associate Professor of Policy and Government at George Mason University, Jeremy Mayer, via Skype.
He made some significant reductions in any amount of money going towards climate change. He made some other changes like the Palestinian aid, but a lot of the normal aid policy of the United States continued relatively unchanged.
Trump restricted U.S. support for abortion education and services in his first term, as previous Republican administrations have, and he's expected to do so again, says Bonnie Glick, a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. She served as deputy administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development under Trump. She spoke via Skype.
Under the Biden administration, there have been ways that abortion providers have received funding for things like abortion education. Under the first Trump administration, we did not allow funding to go to NGOs that were promoting abortions.
Trump's pick for Secretary of State Marco Rubio told Congress in February that, quote, what happens around the world does matter and that the U.S. should care. But in his view, Trump's America First policy takes precedence.
On issue after issue, we either have lost all common sense or we are consistently ignoring the needs of everyday hardworking Americans and putting something or someone above them.
Blake says the new Trump administration will look carefully at where U.S. tax dollars are being spent. She shared her views via Skype.
I suspect that there will be an audit of all of USAID's global programs in 100 different countries around the world.
The aim, she added, will be for the U.S. to get the most from countries receiving taxpayer dollars. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
President-elect Donald Trump has announced Carrie Lake as his choice to lead state-funded media network Voice of America. Lake, a former TV news anchor, launched a political career as a Republican Trump loyalist just after the president-elect's first term in the White House. She has gone on to lose both Arizona's 2022 gubernatorial election to Democratic Governor Kathy Hobbs and this year's Arizona U.S. Senate race to Democratic Senator-elect Ruben Gallego. While announcing Lek's coming job for the U.S. government network in a post to Truth Social on Wednesday night, Trump said he expected Lek to use her position to counter the fake news media. He also pointed out that she would technically be appointed by the U.S. Agency for Global Media, the federal agency overseeing the Voice of America. And now, time for our sports roundup, and I have in studio Mokbil Yabaro. Welcome to Africa News tonight, Mokbil.
Thanks for having me, Yehaze.
So in the world of football, the Champions League and the Europa League had some big games. Care to tell us a little about them?
Absolutely. First, we have to start off with Liverpool versus Girona. Liverpool being still at the top of the Champions League. They have 6 wins, no draws, no losses. They're undefeated in the Champions League atop. Interestingly enough, there was some controversy. There was a penalty kick that some pundits felt as though was not supposed to be awarded to Liverpool. But sometimes when you're the hottest team in Europe, you get those kind of looks from the refs because the refs feel as though you are such a good team that, you know, maybe you should have got the look. So sometimes it's a little bit of good luck on your side when you're playing well. So kudos to them for being able to go undefeated in Champs League. Another team who's really hot right now is Bayern Munich. Bayern is currently in the 10th slot. Interestingly enough, they have 4 wins and 2 losses, but when they win big. So they were able to get a 5-1 win against Shakhtar Donetsk, the Ukrainian side. A great comeback win for Real Madrid against Atalanta. Atalanta is the number one team in the Serie A in the Italian league at the moment. Currently very, very difficult team. We have a player we'll be talking about that has been talked about a lot, Ademola Lookman, phenomenal African player right now who really was running circles around Real Madrid. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to get the job done because, you know, Real Madrid has Mbappe, Jude Bellingham, and Vinicius that were able to secure the win for them 3-2. And then lastly, Arsenal were able to win 3-0 against Monaco. And Monaco is a very, very difficult French team to play against, and they were able to stop Arsenal's set pieces, which really have been a way for them to win lately from their corners and their free kicks. But they found a new method. Maybe that's the new method that other teams now start defending against Arsenal's corners. But Arsenal was able to score 3 goals from open play. So now they are currently in the 3rd spot in the UEFA Champions League.
And you mentioned Ademola Lookman staying in football. I'm just curious, Mokbil, is Ademola Lookman, the Nigerian international, the best African footballer this year?
Great question, Yehaze. If we're sticking with Ademola Lookman, right now he is amongst the final 5 candidates for the African Player of the Year. It is him alongside Simon Adingra, as well as Sergio Guirassy, as well as the Moroccan Ashraf Hakimi and Ronwen Williams, the goalie for the for South Africa, Bafana Bafana. So if I were the one who had a vote in this, I definitely would say that Ademola Lookman, it has to either be him or Simon Adingra. Adingra was part of the Ivory Coast team that was able to win the Africa Cup of Nations. But Ademola Lookman went to the finals of the African Cup of Nations. You know, and then on top of that, the thing that really stands out to me is that his team, Atalanta, last year won the Europa League. He's still in the number one team and the number one club in Europe, in the Italian league right now. So many different things have been going on a personal level as well as a club level. So I would give him the nod for sure.
Go Lookman. And yeah. Finally, Mokbil, the NBA Emirates Cup semifinals are scheduled for this weekend. What team do you think can take it all?
I would have to say the Oklahoma City Thunder look like they are on fire. They are going to be playing against the Houston Rockets. So that's whatever team wins from that side, I believe, will take it. On the East, we have the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Atlanta Hawks. I think the Bucks come out of that one, but I think Thunder versus the Bucks, and I think Thunder get it.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer and sports analyst, Mokbil Yabaro, and our engineer, Killer Williams, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.